Thank you so much, Jenny. Just a reminder that Joel was a prophet and he spoke maybe about 600 years before Christ came. So these are words that God gave him to say to the people, Israel, and to generations to come. He obviously wouldn't have been aware of that at the time, but it was a very powerful testimony. And what it meant really was that Jesus came and he blessed a certain group of people. It looks like maybe 500 or so people were changed, their lives were changed by Jesus' presence and Jesus' ministry. And then when the Holy Spirit came after Jesus died, the Holy Spirit obviously has blessed millions and millions of people and come into their lives and transformed their lives. So this morning we're going to look very briefly at some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got a sheet like that? There's some at the back, so when you're leaving you can pick one up, but it basically tells you what I'm going to say. So if I say anything that's not on the script, just go, hang on. It all seems a bit rushed this morning, and it is a special day, probably the third most special day of the church in the year. So it's just reminding that, maybe having a chance to reflect later on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he means to you, how he can transform our lives. It's all right believing in God and believing that Jesus was the Son of God, but also to welcome the Holy Spirit in. That gives us a first-hand experience of God and his blessings to us and what he does in our lives and in our souls. So some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. We think, who is this person? I grew up thinking the Holy Spirit was the Holy Ghost. Do you remember that? When I was young, people talked about the Holy Ghost. And that was obviously a bit freaky to me because, like, I don't know, I feel a bit worried about ghosts. And it seemed like he was very kind of ethereal and maybe just came into people's lives in a weird way, just kind of some kind of essence from God. But he is a person, one of the three of the Trinity, equal with God the Son and God the Father. So firstly, he is the Spirit of truth. So when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So that's one of the signs that we're a Christian, I think, is that when we read, not all, every time, so don't get worried, but when we read sometimes even familiar passages, we feel that we're hearing these for the first time. I went many years ago to a theatre production where it was an actor and he spoke the whole of Matthew, just recited it without any kind of, you know, copy or anything. He just went through the whole of Matthew and he acted it, and that was splendid. But he said in an interview afterwards, he said, I'm not a Christian, I don't believe anything of what I say, it's an experience for me, and it's a challenge to be able to memorize all of Matthew and to recite it all. But I would say being a Christian is different. You don't have to know all of the Gospel of Matthew, you just have to have the Holy Spirit in you to speak to you and to show you truth. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit seeks to glorify the Father and the Son. So everything that Jesus did was to glorify the Father. It wasn't to glorify himself. Everything the Holy Spirit does is to glorify Jesus and the Father. So the three working in tandem. I don't know if you've seen that image of, like, that somebody did of the eternal dance, they call it, and it's just three persons sort of dancing round and round and round. And I love that. Total equality. The Father is not superior to the Son, and nor is the Holy Spirit inferior to any of them. Both totally equal. So eternal triangle, united in their total self-giving love for each other. That's wonderful, isn't it? And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit tells us what is to come. So the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen and prepares us for it. There's a few times in my life that I can say that was very true. Looking back at the time, you think, oh, you know, but afterwards when you reflect, you think, yeah. One instance, quite a few of you will have known my dad. Obviously, he came here for a few years and he died about 15 years, 16 years ago now. And I remember Fee and I going to visit him in hospital and just having that kind of sense after we left him in the hospital that we wouldn't see him alive again. And we had a phone call in the night from the hospital to say that he died. But just that kind of preparation that you have And sometimes we're too busy to kind of hear that, but I think the Holy Spirit's working in our lives an awful lot to just prepare us and to strengthen us and to help us. And then fourthly, his name's a counselor, so the paraclete. The paraclete is like a lawyer that stands and defends you against maybe expert witnesses. So anybody who accuses you, you know you've got a defender in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here not to just go, right, you know, you've done this wrong and you've done that wrong. Definitely not. The Holy Spirit is here to support us, guide us, provide for us, protect us. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts to change us. So even when we think, oh, I've been really great, you know, the number of good turns I've done lately, been fantastic, oh, I'm a marvellous person. Well, actually, you can't thank yourself for that, because it's the Holy Spirit at work in you that does that, that changes us from within and helps us to think more about being more like Jesus. So his presence protects us from the dominion of the evil one, but he can be grieved by what we do or say. So if he's saying something to you and you're ignoring him, then he will get grieved. You know, he's sensitive. And so be prepared to listen. Keep your consciences sharp, because that's a good way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And then his ministry is to unleash the powers of the promised kingdom of God in the world. So the great thing is, you look around sometimes and you see immense evil, don't you? You know, in a way that's a counterbalance to the good that we see. There is also evil. But the protection that we have against the evil is that we have the Holy Spirit within us. We don't fight this battle alone. Look at China, officially an atheist nation, but they reckon, and it's only unofficial, but they reckon that more than 100 million people in China are Christians. So that's more than the whole population of the United Kingdom. Huge amounts of growth in China, despite it being officially persecuted. So what can we expect from the presence of the Holy Spirit in power amongst us? Maybe that's the question. It's like when you hear somebody talk about prayer, and I heard Marcus speak a few weeks ago, and it was really great what he said. But we can learn what we like about the Holy Spirit, but it has to be a first-hand experience. We have to ask the Holy Spirit into our lives. And God says, if you ask, then you will receive. That's guaranteed. So I would like to see in every fellowship that I'm involved in a kind of growth in confidence with the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you have seen spiritual abuses in your past in churches. Maybe the charismatic element has been kind of part of that issue. And maybe you've learned to keep the Holy Spirit very much at arm's length. But the principle is, we worship a good, good God who loves us, won't do anything to harm us. The Holy Spirit will only do his work in cooperation with us. So don't worry, he's not going to make you do things you're not prepared to do. He always works in cooperation. And the key to unlocking the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a willingness to cooperate with him. So we look at life, cooperation is critical in every attempt that we do, isn't it? We don't really do much that is totally on our own. Fiona's brother, Ian, he's got a pilot's license, and if he went flying, he's been trained in these areas that he needs to be trained in, but he also needs to listen to the air traffic controller. When the air traffic controller says, come in at this angle or this time, he needs to listen. If he said, well, I'm not listening to him because I've got a pilot's license, he'd be heading for disaster. And it's the same with us. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to bless us. So the fact is, we can impede the work of the Holy Spirit. So we can block the Holy Spirit from his work. First of all, by grieving the Holy Spirit, so by upsetting him. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So anything that is sin grieves the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is at work to purify us, to make us whole, to make us completely God's. So he is at work. Then by resisting the Spirit, so when we refuse to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, there have been times in my life when I've been quite clearly against what God is trying to say to me, and that's never been a good move on my part. God is very gracious, but also he's very powerful. He wants to do what is best. And then by quenching the Spirit, that's something maybe that we perhaps most struggle with. Don't quench the Spirit, Paul says. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. So we were talking about consuming fire. So it's just that sense of we can get by as a church. You can get by fine, can't you? People come, it'll all be happy. Even without the Holy Spirit, you can get by fine. But it won't be moving forward. It won't be changing, because it's the Holy Spirit that changes people's hearts, changes the fellowship, changes the appetite for God. And it changes the air around. So, you know, if you're praying, I'm sure, for Rington and for the village and for people within it, well, without the Holy Spirit, those prayers are pretty much defunct. We need the Holy Spirit. He works beyond borders. He works way beyond our little kind of fellowship. And it's kind of, when we walk with the Spirit, we can be sensitive to, maybe you have a friend in Rington or neighbour or family, and you talk to them one day and things are different. And it's kind of the Holy Spirit that's saying to you, maybe just have this other conversation with them, go deeper with them. It's listening to that. And you can see in the Gospels that Jesus is constantly listening to his Father and being guided by his Father. So that's really important. If you find yourself grieving, resisting, quenching the Holy Spirit, if you feel that personally you're doing that, then seek forgiveness. Resolve to let him guide your life. So the resolution for today is, say, I'm going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit from now on. Yeah, that's something for me to listen to as well. Part of my preparation for this sermon, I thought, you know, how much have I kind of learned about the Holy Spirit lately? So I went back and started reading books about the Holy Spirit and about experiences of the Holy Spirit. And I read this particularly great book that was from a guy who was very resistant to it. He said the Holy Spirit doesn't work anymore. There's no more miracles. Nothing happens anymore. And he poo-pooed anybody who said, this has happened and that's happened. And then he went along to some meetings and realized, despite all his education, that the Holy Spirit was at work and the Holy Spirit was still transforming people's lives. So the Holy Spirit is as present today as he was in the birthday of the church. Acts 2 tells us about it, when he came down upon the apostles after Jesus had died, and he moved amongst them, he filled them. They were able to speak different languages, they were able to be strong and brave and courageous from that. So just a reminder, remember the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore him, don't quench him. Be cooperative, welcome him in to your lives. Amen.